CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday show. Trade talk today. Make sure you check out the trade chart on the website. And make sure you find out how much Elijah Mitchell went for in your league. We're going to talk about that. We're going to give you our favorite buy lows, our sell highs, all the news and notes, and previewing the Thursday night game that nobody can wait for, the Giants at the Washington football team. What's the most, the highest amount of fab you saw Elijah Mitchell go for in your leagues on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
I had a 58%er, the big 5-8. That's the biggest one. There was another one where I'm in a league with a partner. We decided to bid 40 on Elijah Mitchell. It's a keeper league, and he went for 47.
Oh, so my gosh. Schrager, so he went close for the entire budget in your league? I'm sorry, Dave. I cut you off there. My bad.
The entire budget.
16-team league.
Nyheim Hines, $200 last year as well.
Lesson learned.
I thought it was really
a quarter on Christian Kirk.
I thought it was really suspicious how I tweeted out yesterday that it was going to take at least 50% to get him. And in all of my leagues, he went for between 51 and 58%, except for the 10-team league. And that, I mean, a 10-team league.
That thought crossed my mind, too. As I'm trying to help people with their fab bids and I'm realizing that I play in a lot of leagues with a lot of people. They know that I'm on Twitter. They're absolutely going to use that information against me.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part is like half of our leagues now have Wednesday night waivers, and it's going to be so much fun to see what Elijah Mitchell goes for tonight.
Yeah.
When we just had leagues where we're all in together, where he went for 51 to 58%.
So now how much are you,
if you're desperate, what kind of bid do you put in?
Well, I'm actually like,
if you're an 0-1 team and you're facing another 0-1 team in a league that is named after your show and literally everyone that's on your show started 0-1.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. What are you talking about?
No. I want Heath to answer this.
Oh, the Fantasy Football Today. I thought you were talking about the podcast.
The Fantasy Football Today League, I believe you, me, Dave, Jamie, and Chris all started 0-1.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, and Schrager.
There we go. Boom.
Wow. Wow, I lost the Prisco. Ugh.
Heath, so one of us needs to go get Elijah Mitchell.
Right. So what are you going to bid on him in that league? Because I'm just curious.
I'm going to bid 100%. Dave, you better bid 100% to get him.
That's not actionable advice. Our audience wants actionable advice. They want to know what would Heath Cummings really do.
So selfish, Heath. I don't think I'm probably not going to get him. I didn't put big bids in for him. But I will say in one of my leagues, I had the second priority. I think actually the third, but ended up with the second pickup, and somebody prioritized the Browns DST as number one, and I got Elijah Mitchell. So
what a gift.
But you never know. Like I am very worried that Elijah Mitchell is going to be a 1 week wonder. That Trey Sermon gets more work, and they also face the Lions. I know they run on everyone, but he's a rookie sixth round pick. He may not be that good. They face the Lions. They've got the Eagles this week. That's going to be a lot tougher. I got a bid in. I'm not going to get him. I'm looking at my bid right now in FFT. I'm not going to get him. But
I don't think I need him. I think I put in a price enforcing bid.
No, dude, my running backs are Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. I do not need Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, no concerns.
I am good. I am good to go.
Those are probably two great names to kick off buy low, sell high.
Let's do it. Who are your favorite buy lows, Heath?
Oh, I thought you were going to be my favorite for sell high first. That was the fun part. Who's your favorite sell high, Heath?
He's sell high. Yes. That's what I meant. Who's your favorite?
Here's my question. Can I say Saquon Barkley?
Yes, I see where you're going with this. Go ahead.
People, I think, probably still view Saquon Barkley as, he's a second round pick. He was a second round pick because we knew he was going to get off to a slow start and he wouldn't be 100% at the start of the year. How are people going to feel if they have 10 days to digest a second game where Saquon Barkley doesn't look particularly explosive, doesn't have an offensive line that can block for him, and plays on a team that scores 6 points until garbage time? If we get to week three and it's Tuesday or Wednesday and we're talking about buy lows, sell highs, and Saquon Barkley ranks 49th at running back and he's averaging 3.1 yards per carry and his long rush for the season is 5 yards, are we really I think that Saquon Barkley's value has a real chance to go down in the next 48 hours and that you might be able to sell him right now for Joe Mixon, who I would prefer for the rest of the season than Saquon Barkley. You might be able to sell him still for Stephon Diggs or one of those round two wide receivers. Who would I would prefer. Mm-hmm. You might be able to sell him for a package that includes DeAndre Swift and an upgrade somewhere else. And I think that he and Swift are kind of a coin toss at this point in full PPR.
Mm-hmm.
What a downer.
So let me ask you this.
Sell high on Saquon Barkley.
Wait.
Are you saying to sell high on him now and then after the game against Washington, buy low on him?
I'm not sure that I want to buy low on him.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my second question. Because
did you watch the film on him from week one?
I did.
Okay.
I thought there were multiple times when there was an angle outside.
Yes, yes.
And he didn't explode towards it.
No.
He ran back towards the pile and fell down.
Yep. I think the biggest issue is still the offensive line. And that's not changing. It's so bad. And so you would want a running back to try and attack the edges where there's no offensive linemen who are doing a poor job blocking. And he didn't do it in that game. That's something that I think I think New York can correct that. And I think they can try and encourage him and draw plays for him to attack the outside. And I also think he's okay running routes out of the backfield. I don't know if we really saw enough to really judge, but I don't think he himself looked slow or tentative. I think he still had that quickness.
I would use the word tentative because I do think when he was at his best, those plays where there's a wide gap outside, he would have exploded towards that.
Yeah.
And he did not do that.
So the question is, since we don't expect him to do well this week, you guys have him ranked around 30th, I think. So he's a sit if you can do it. Are you taking the stance of let's sell him now because I don't think he's going to have that great of a year, which Heath apparently is, or let's wait another week and then try to buy even lower on Saquon Barkley? It does help, by the way, to have a 17-game season instead of 16. You know, it buys you a little more time in a longer season. So Heath, it sounds like you're saying get what you can now, as long as you can get a top 15 to 20 player, which is what you're saying, not sell him for peanuts here. And Dave, you might be on the other. I don't know. Are you taking a more, hey, let's see, let's have a bad week too, and then let's make our trade offers for Barkley and see what we can do. Let's wrap it up.
Exactly.
Here. Oh, that's what
you're saying. That's what I'm doing. Okay. I am risking that Saquon Barkley will not have a great week two, and that when he gets ready for week three, we'll start hearing about how the Giants are ready to let him go. He'll play more than 50% of the snaps. He was below 50%, I believe, in week one. I think it was right there. So I think they're ramping him up. I think they're trying to be cautious with him. I think that he's got some potential. I don't know if he's got the potential to be a first-round running back. So I think if you kind of think of him as, okay, he's going to return second-round value at best this year, and that will start happening hopefully as soon as week three, I'd get behind that. And I agree with Heath. Look, if you can turn him into Joe Mixon or even Antonio Gibson, I think it's a wise move. But, I mean, we could go down the list of running backs and wide receivers. I'm not sure if I would turn him into Calvin Ridley. Maybe in PPR. I think that's fair. But you know, DK Metcalf, straight up for Saquon. Heath, it sounds like you might be willing to do that now.
I didn't have Metcalf quite as high as everyone else, and him getting outperformed by Lockett in week one didn't make me any more encouraged by Metcalf. So, but like AJ Brown, I would.
If I come at you with Amari Cooper and Elijah Mitchell, are you taking that trade?
Probably not.
Wasn't Metcalf better than AJ Brown?
Fantasy points, yes, but not Tyler Lockett.
No, not Tyler Lockett, but it's weird that you would take Brown over
Barkley.
I had Brown around ahead of Metcalf coming into week one.
Yeah. Okay. So I you brought up Antonio Gibson. I did want to just bring up something that I noticed here. Taylor Heinicke has not played much, but he played against Carolina, I believe, in week 16. He started the playoff game, and then he came in last week. I don't know if you've noticed this. He does not really throw to running backs. You are talking about pretty low. I got the numbers. Give me 1 second. I wasn't prepared to talk about this just yet. But
I can tell you what he threw to his tight ends last year.
Here, I'll tell you now. J.D. McKissic had two. Okay, in the postseason, in that game, 44 passes, six of them went to McKissic and Gibson. In the Carolina game in week 16, he threw 19 passes, three of them went to running backs. One of them was a touchdown pass to McKissic very late in the game. And then last week, we didn't really see a ton. We didn't see any targets for McKissic, and we saw, two catches. I don't know what the split was with Fitzpatrick and Gibson, but that is very small sample size, but not a ton of running back targets from Heinicke.
The only nice thing, because all those numbers were about a 15% share for running backs, it sounded like to me. Quick math in my head. J.D. McKissic wasn't really involved in the game plan in week one.
I think he was. I think he was in on third down more than
Gibson.
They
just didn't throw it to him?
Just didn't throw it to him. That's what Chris said on Monday.
As long as they just don't throw it to J.D. McKissic, I'm fine with Gibson getting 15% of the targets.
McKissic was in on 14 pass plays out of his 18 total snaps.
What about Gibson?
Gibson was in on 13 pass plays out of his 33 total snaps. And remember, teams are allowed to throw the ball on first and second down.
Yes.
So I would imagine, and I can look it up if you really wanted to know, Gibson probably was only in on third and short plays.
Yeah, he's not McKissic, despite not getting targeted, or maybe one target, I forgot what it was, he was the third down back.
Yeah. And looks like third and two, third and four, fourth and one, third and one, that's it. So four plays on third down or fourth down that were short yardage that Gibson was in on.
Okay. All right, Dave, give me your favorite sell high.
I don't know if Rob Gronkowski is my favorite sell high. I'd have to think about that a little bit, but he's certainly one of them. You drafted him way late, or you picked him up off the waiver wire on Tuesday night, and he's coming off of his best game of the year, and he plays a position that's hard to fill. I understand that if you had Bupkis at tight end in week one, and you had Robert Tonyan in week one, and you just picked up Gronk, maybe you'd be a little hesitant to trade him, but you could field offers for him, try and improve your team somewhere else, and then just go back to the waiver wire and stream tight end again. I don't think Gronk is going to have another 90-yard, two-touchdown game the rest of the year. I don't know if he's going to have a game with even six targets the rest of the year. And we all know that he's one of the elder statesmen in the league. He could always miss some time. I think this is the right time to sell high on Rob Gronkowski.
Would you rather have Gronkowski or Noah Fant?
Rest of season, I would rather have Fant.
Fant.
Okay. Do you guys have any more sell highs? I can throw some at you. You can tell me what you think, but up to you.
Are we doing all of them now?
Yes. Yes. We're not going back to it later. Let's just fire away. Give me some rapid fire.
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston's a great one.
Anything at all for him in a one quarterback league, I would be happy to do it.
Did you watch his film, Heath?
I did not watch very much of Jameis yet. I didn't rewatch Jameis yet.
You're going to make that face that you make when I say something stupid and you go,
I do that sometimes. It's not when you say something stupid. It's just when I am not sure that I'm quite buying what you're selling.
I see.
I'm definitely not buying Jameis Winston's 25% touchdown rate. and I'm more concerned that their defense is going to be really this week against Carolina, I think, is a very good indicator.
Well, they're missing two of their best defensive players this week, though. So
I don't know that it matters against Sam Darnold.
It might not, but their defense was kind of supposed to take a step back. It was a hell of a performance against the Packers.
Right.
I was a little surprised.
I just we thought Pete. I think Pete told us in the summer, drink Adam, that their plan was to be more run heavy this year. And they were very, very run heavy in week one. And that game we're kind of just throwing out because it was so weird. But I kind of am afraid that Jameis is not going to be more than a 30 attempt per game guy. And if he's that, then you're probably looking at a touchdown or two per week.
Yeah.
And Marquez Callaway just completely disappeared. I'm not sure he has a wide receiver right now. Kenny Stills might be a
I'm sorry.
Receiver.
Let's keep going. Oh boy. Keep going.
All right, we can talk about Jameis later if he fits in. Brandon Cooks is another sell high. I'm not saying get rid of him at whatever you can get, but I think if you can get wide receiver two value for Cooks, I still look at him as more of like a flex or a wide receiver three. There will not be as many games in Houston where he's going to do what he did on Sunday. Jacobs is another one, although that's kind of obvious. Two touchdowns, terrible rushing average. Clearly, there's a split in the run game. We all saw it coming in the preseason, and I think it's going to continue to be that way in Las Vegas. And he's beat up right now. So that's
ridiculous.
Yeah. So this is probably my last true sell high guy. Is
Tyson Williams is mine. And like, I'm not sure he's going to keep any role in Baltimore with as many mistakes as he made in week one. Now he could fix all that and have a great week of practice and be the lead back again in week two. It's certainly possible, but there were just a number of things in pass protection, ball security. He made mistakes all over the place, and they've got a bunch of veteran guys who have no juice at all, but will at least do things the right way. So I'm a little bit worried about Tyson, a lot worried about Tyson.
Yeah, I want to talk about him because we got a lot of questions about him. And I think the thing that kind of holds me back just a little bit is he was a lot better than Latavius Murray. And Murray, you know, just got there, right? So you could mm-hmm. you could understand that. But Tyson Williams, and he caught some passes, you know, and Lamar Jackson was standing there in the pocket throwing to running backs. It was a little bit different. Three catches for 29 yards for Williams, 9 carries, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Latavius Murray averaged 2.8 yards per carry. I feel like we all would want to see more Tyson Williams, if not for the mistakes. And you know, maybe hopefully they just let him kind of learn from it. But what would you try to get for Tyson Williams?
Any player that I could start at any position.
Would you take Gronk?
Do I have good running backs and no good tight end? Yes.
Okay. Mm. Would you take Justin Herbert?
100%. Love it. I'd take Aaron Rodgers.
Would you take Leonard Fournette?
No.
That'd be close.
Really?
Robbie Anderson?
I mean, I don't know what the difference is between Leonard Fournette and Tyson Williams. We don't know how many touches they're going to get in week two. They both have the ability to be top 15 running backs if everything goes perfect for them.
Allow me to remind you of one thing about Tyson Williams, and it's the team that he plays on. It's the Baltimore Ravens. This is a team that likes to use multiple running backs. If he's not playing, who is? Latavius will be one. They're going to turn to Devontae Freeman or Le'Veon Bell for the other. I suppose they won't make as many mistakes as Tyson Williams made in week one. But you said it, Heath. The kid still has some explosiveness that the other veterans just do not have.
Did he say that or did I say that?
I think I said he's got more juice than everybody else.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we agree. All right, let's go to the buy lows here. But before we do that, your bookmaker, that guy. Let's get a leg up on that guy or girl. We've got you covered on the Early Edge podcast powered by Sportsline. Every day you can join Jonathan Coachman. I call him Jonathan Coachman on the Draftathon. He's like, hey, who the hell are you talking to? I said, sorry, Coach. We'll call him Coach. Yeah. Coach and an expert crew of Sportsline handicappers to break down the biggest games of the day. This is the Early Edge podcast. It's 15 minutes or shorter every episode, 15 minutes or shorter. It's in your feed by 11 a.m. And Dave is on the Early Edge props live stream Fridays at 2. Dave is like the props maestro. So go check out the Early Edge podcast wherever you listen to FFT or on YouTube. All right, how about some buy lows? We'll be a little more optimistic now. Buy lows. Let's get. Oh, look at that! Look, Dave on the left.
There I am. Same spot I'm in right now. Different shirt. Same five head. There I am with the coach. It's a fun show. There's a lot of really good information. It could actually help you in your fantasy lineups too, because you're getting an idea of what the odds makers think a player is going to do from game to game. And we go through a lot of players. So it's actually a lot of fun and it'll help you out in DFS, seasonal redraft. And if you decide to do a little prop wagering, I went 3-1-1 on my picks on the show last week. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Okay.
Buy lows.
Any running back that was taken in round one who underperformed in week one should at least get it. It's worth a text message to the person in your league who's got Derrick Henry, who's got Aaron Jones, who's got Ezekiel Elliott. just to see, hey, are you interested in moving on from him? Wow, what a crappy stat line. Can you believe Derrick Henry didn't score from the one on two tries? Can you believe that Zeke only had 11 carries? Can you believe that Aaron Jones was, you know, barely used? See if you can get them at a value that's lower than round one, because I think all three of them have the potential to deliver round one value rest of season.
The Packers, the Steelers are my just those teams I'm buying low on. Although, like, I think it's going to be really interesting for Najee Harris this week. This should be the week where he just dominates. It's so fantastic that he played 100% of the snaps. That probably won't happen all year. They'll probably run more plays. But he's got to deliver some results against the Raiders, or people are going to hit the panic button for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm buying low on Deontay. I'm buying low on Najee. I'm buying low on Juju. Probably still buying low on Claypool. I'm okay with starting Ben this week. So obviously in a 2QB league, I'm buying low on him. I think the Packers are going to be fine. RELAX. Kyle Pitts, making some Dallas Goedert for Kyle Pitts offers this week. I would also trade Gronk for Kyle Pitts, although in non-PPR, I'd also probably start Gronk over Pitts this week.
And Mark Andrews is obvious, right?
Yes.
Andrews is one Heath should be going after in whatever leagues he did.
I don't need any more Mark Andrews. I've got plenty of Mark Andrews. I don't need to. That's also Michael Thomas. Go check and see if the Michael Thomas team started 0-1, 0-2 after this week.
Couldn't you also do that with the Jerry Jeudy teams?
Yeah. I'm less convinced. Like, it might be week 10 before we get Jerry Jeudy.
Sure. I totally understand that. But I'm not giving up that much for Jerry Jeudy to begin with.
Right.
So it if you're in a league where everybody's got four IR spots, no one's going to take
your
low ball offer.
Right. Right.
But if your league does not have IR spots, then low ball away on Jerry Jeudy and hope that you don't need to cut him for somebody else along the way. What about Allen Robinson? Terrible sure. game, terrible matchup.
100%.
It's pretty clear to see. That's an easy one to go and buy low on. Miles Gaskin is another one. Didn't have a great stat line. I think Miles Gaskin can have some big games. James Robinson, there's no way he's going to have five.
Yeah, all right, wait. Heath, I'll let you get in 1 second, but I want to talk about James Robinson.
The one team I'm not as sure about, and I said Pitts, I'm less sure about the Falcons, specifically Ridley on the buy low list. And I tweeted this out. This was a conversation we had multiple times through the offseason. The Falcons threw the ball 54% of the time in a game they lost 32-6. Last year, the Falcons threw the ball 64% of the time in losses. Arthur Smith's Titans threw the ball 53% of the time in losses. Hmm. The idea, like, we kind of, and I just, like, I started off in April really concerned that Arthur Smith would try to run the same offense in Tennessee. And then when he added Mike Davis and literally no one else at running back, I just kind of gave in to the idea that, no, he'll just throw it 600 times like Dirk did. Week one was not an indication that they're going to do that. If they throw the ball below 65% of the time against Tampa Bay, I'm going to be concerned about the pass volume for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's just such a bad schedule to start for Mike Davis at Tampa Bay, then the Giants, then Washington. Could be four straight tough defenses to start, and he just didn't justify all the carries he got. But yeah, so Matt Ryan threw 35 passes in a 32-6 loss. That's a good point. That's pretty interesting. James Robinson, you know, you say buy low. Would you sell Tyson Williams for James Robinson?
Yes.
Yes. By the way, they only ran the ball three times in the fourth quarter, and I'll get back to you on the third quarter. This is the Falcons that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Four times. They only ran the ball seven times in the second half, and one of them was on Matt Ryan avoiding a sack. Looks like
plan was very run heavy in the first half.
In the first half, it was, and you know what? It was kind of a game. It wasn't a great game. What was it? 15-6 at halftime. So they were down a little more than one score.
Yeah,
I think they tried to throw a little bit more in the second half when they were down by only nine.
Okay, let me talk about Robinson now. I just have no faith in Urban Meyer, and I guess the way I'd put it is he any better than the guys who were going a round or two later, like Mike Davis and Myles Gaskin and Chase Edmonds and Darrell Henderson and Damian Harris, even going, you know, there. Then after that, you have like the Mostert, Sermon,
you know, you try to probably trade
I would
one
take
of them.
Pretty much all those guys over Robinson now. It was
right,
just
I'm saying.
Just Tyson Williams that right. you asked about that I said I would do.
Okay. But yeah, like we're drafting again today. Robinson's probably fifth or sixth round pick.
He's where he was when Etienne was healthy.
Yeah, which is probably a little unfair. You know, he's not, yeah, but
I agree.
But
Carlos Hyde got as many touches as I expected for Etienne.
I think a lot of those were, no, I think a lot of those were really late for Carlos Hyde, as I recall. Right? Didn't we do this on the Sunday show?
Did James Robinson have a carry in the first quarter?
I have no idea.
I can just tell you that Carlos Hyde's rushes.
But he was in on third down. I mean, that's the thing. With Etienne, we thought that was the passing that we knew that was going to be the passing downs guy. James Robinson still had that role. So, you know, that's the difference here. He ran a lot of routes, and credit to Chris. Chris was saying all this stuff last night on the live stream. He ran a lot of routes, just didn't get the ball thrown his way. He had 3 catches for 29 yards. That's not so bad, but only 5 carries. So that's the difference, I think, between Hyde and Etienne. Plus, you know, when it was Etienne was there, it was Hyde and Etienne. Now it's just Hyde. But anyway,
six carries for Hyde in the second half, 4 in the fourth quarter. 4 of them came in the second half of the fourth quarter in a blowout loss.
Right, right.
I don't believe it. I think Robinson is a terrific.
So they were 50-50 until the second half of the fourth quarter in carries.
I just don't understand why he only had 5 carries in the game. Like Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon had this basically the same amount of carries. Dillon didn't have more carries than Aaron Jones, but it was a weird game. It was a blowout loss, and we just kind of throw it away for the Packers. I understand Jacksonville's going to lose a lot, but I don't know, but my guess is it's not going to be an even 50-50 split in carries, and it's certainly not going to be in passing downs roles for Johnson or for Robinson and Hyde. But do you think it's going to be close to 50-50?
I do not want to make any guesses as to what, I mean, before or after Urban Meyer.
He's going to be there for a while. But listen, to sum it up, when you talk about Derrick Henry and Zeke and Aaron Jones and Allen Robinson, you're still talking about buying low on them, and they'd still be drafted in the same spot they were. We're not downgrading them. With Robinson, you could say buy low, but we don't feel as good as we did a week ago about Robinson.
You can't.
Yeah.
But I think that even a coach as, you know, suspect as Urban Meyer can go back to the drawing board and say, all right, one thing we can do more of is work the run game and use this running back who, at least for whatever it's worth, he gave us 3 carries of 6-plus yards. Why not give him the ball more? Why not design more plays for him? Why not take some pressure off of that rookie quarterback that just got freaked out by the Texans? And now you're going up against a Denver defense that's really good against the pass. This is a perfect week to try and lean on James Robinson a little bit more.
I can tell.
I think if you can get him on the cheap, I think you'll help your team out.
Both Robinson and Hyde had 1 carry in the first quarter. Robinson had 5 in the first half. Hyde had 3.
Okay, so let's talk about – let me just follow up here on your buy lows. Would you trade Myles Gaskin for Allen Robinson?
Yes.
Yeah, to get Robinson, yes.
Would you trade Adam Thielen for Allen Robinson?
Yes. I would do that as well.
Would you trade Hawkinson – well, no, because I already asked you this. You guys like Hawkinson better than Pitts. Would you trade Hawkinson for Andrews?
I think I'd rather have Hawkinson. PPR.
I'd rather have Andrews, but I have too many Andrews teams and no Hawkinson teams, so I probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's funny. Heath and I share the 10 team podcast league team, and I drafted Mark. We alternate picks, and I actually drafted Mark Andrews. It's like just the influence of Heath. Would you trade? Let's see. Would you trade Jalen Hurts? No, you like Hurts better than Rodgers. Would you trade Stafford for Rodgers?
I think they're even.
I probably would.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a lot of stuff. We got news and notes. We got the Thursday night preview. No. We've got fantasy cops. We got your grade the trades. We got a lot of emails. We got Apple Podcast questions. Jam packed.
We got a lot to do. Let's get there.
Jam packed second half of the show. We'll be right back.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
News and notes, Raheem Mostert is out for the season. San Francisco signed Kerryon Johnson to the practice squad. Nobody's adding Kerryon Johnson.
Added Kerryon Johnson in a league this morning.
Did you really?
That was
what league?
Our 14-team YOLO Dynasty League with 28-man rosters.
Okay. KJ Hamler.
I look forward to you cutting Kerryon Johnson in your 14.
I have three times already in the team's history.
KJ Hamler got first team reps. So Hamler's going to probably play out of the slot for Judy. But would you guys rather have Tim Patrick or KJ Hamler?
Patrick.
Patrick, if I need a starter this week. Hamler, if I need an upside bench guy.
Ronald Jones is going to start against Atlanta. What do you make of that?
Well, who said that?
I think Bruce Arians said that.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, no. What does he know?
Yeah, that means it did change because I had Fournette as like a number 25 running back, and I dropped him back to 31 or 32. I still rank Fournette ahead of Jones.
I don't understand. Like, I wish I could, ask Bruce Arians why he would announce that, why he would say that. And is he trying to motivate Rojo? Is he trying to show that he's got confidence in him? What's going to happen the next time Rojo makes a mistake? Everybody knows.
Well,
you can't trust Rojo.
Yeah, but I think what Bruce Arians has said is that Ronald Jones has a tendency to go in the tank when he makes a mistake. So I feel like he's trying to prop him up a little bit and help his confidence.
Yeah.
Because he said he was running really well before the fumble, and then he went in the tank, and you can't do that. Antonio Gibson practiced in full. Evan Ingram has a chance to play. Some, I think, 8 members of the team for the Saints, mostly offensive coaches, tested positive for COVID. Doesn't look like any players right now are affected. Josh Gordon is eligible for reinstatement. Raiders had a tough night even though they won. Right guard Denzel Good is out for the season. And defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and defensive end Yannick Ngakoue may have serious injuries as well for the Raiders. And they're on a short week, overtime game, going to Pittsburgh. This is why we need the Steelers to just really show up offensively.
If they don't show up, the Steelers are major red flags.
The Broncos DST takes a little bit of a hit. Ronald Darby, cornerback, goes on IR, but their next two games are Jacksonville and the Jets. They still should be started. And then how about this? The Ravens under John Harbaugh were 81-0 in the regular season when they led by 14 or more points until Monday. And before Harbaugh, dating back before him, 98 wins in a row and leading by 14 or more points. That is astonishing. And they lost. And they released Jonathan Cannon.
I saw another one of these great stats. Patrick Mahomes is now 9-2 in his career when trailing by double digits.
I also saw the Ravens gave up the highest pressure rate in years.
Their offensive line's not very good.
Yeah, Villanueva was bad. And I look, this is not uncommon. I read separately about the Ravens, the Falcons, the Titans, obviously the Giants. I mean, these are teams that just people, their offensive line, the Falcons, I don't know if I said them yet, their offensive lines really struggled. The Vikings had protection problems. And this is just a huge problem in the NFL. It has been for a while. And it just makes you realize players can succeed on teams with bad lines. I mean, the Chargers had the worst line in football last year, according to Pro Football Focus. So I don't know that we obsess over offensive lines sometimes. It's everywhere. Offensive lines just They're just not that good. You have one weak link and it gets exposed, you know? But anyway, end of rant. Rank these players rest of season. So I'm going to give you players, you're going to rank them rest of season in your fantasy football rankings. Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford.
How else would we rank them other than in our fantasy football rankings?
Whose jersey you want? Youngest?
Rodgers, Stafford, Burrow.
I agree. That's how I have it.
Another interesting thing to watch, like Heath, like what you brought up with the Falcons offense. How about the Bengals ran 68 plays. They played a full overtime. It was a competitive game, and they only threw 27 passes. I think Joe Mixon had 29 carries, right? Something like that. I think he had more carries than Burrow had pass attempts.
Yeah, they gave him that work.
All right, in terms of number two quarterbacks, rank these guys rest of season. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston.
Cousins won. Oh, man. I guess Ryan 2, Winston 3.
Cousins, Winston, Ryan. We've still never seen Matt Ryan be a good quarterback without Julio Jones.
Saquon Barkley, there. Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson. Rank them.
Mixon, Gibson, Barkley.
Yep.
Mark Andrews, DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery.
Montgomery, Swift.
What was that, Heath?
I don't even understand.
Well, you're drafting again today. Would you rather have Mark Andrews, DeAndre Swift, or David Montgomery? How would you rank them?
Swift, Montgomery, Andrews.
Okay. So if you don't understand, I just want to clarify the way this works is these are your fantasy football rankings for the rest of the season.
The rest of the season.
Yeah.
So these are like as a flex.
Sure.
Because my rankings for the rest of the season at this point would not consider positional scarcity, I don't think.
Okay.
I'm just thinking like flex rankings. How many points are they going to score? But I will try to factor in
whatever you want. It's just your call.
Thanks.
Tyson Williams, Trey Sermon, Damian Harris.
Harris, Sermon, Tyson.
Yep.
Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, Allen Robinson.
Lamb, Robinson, McLaurin.
Robinson, Lamb, McLaurin.
We got to downgrade McLaurin, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yep.
To what?
Low end wide receiver 2.
Yeah, that's basically right. What he was. I think he was around 20th last year.
I mean, he's back in the same situation he's been in the last 2 years. We had hope that he would be playing with the best quarterback he ever has, and now he's playing with the same quarterback he ever has.
I wonder if this turns down
the aggressiveness of the Washington offense, too. They might not be willing to throw as much.
But I think Heinicke could be a lot better than Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins.
But we have no evidence for that currently.
And we don't think he's as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, that, yeah, that
Washington agrees with us.
Adam Thielen, Jamar Chase, Mike Evans. I love it.
Sounds like Heath had the chili. Evans, Thielen, Chase.
Man, I do not know. I'm going to go Chase, Thielen, Evans.
Whoa.
Chase.
Woo. All right.
I had at the beginning of the preseason Chase first amongst this group in full PPR. So that's not like a huge overreaction. It's just going back to where I was back in May.
Okay. Last one. Antonio Brown, T. Higgins, Juju Smith-Schuster.
I've got Higgins and Brown tied in the trade chart. I will say Higgins and Brown. Higgins first, Brown second, Juju last.
Juju, Brown, Higgins.
Giants exact at Washington, opposite. Dave. You ready?
No.
Couple of low-scoring defensive games last year. Giants won them both 20-19 and 23-20. And Terry McLaurin had good games. 7 for 74 in the first game, 7 for 115 and a touchdown in the second game. And that was with Kyle Allen and Alex Smith starting. So we'll start with the Giants. I'm going to sit Daniel Jones. And I already said Saquon Barkley, he's about 30th in your rankings. But if you want to frame it, you know, as a flex, would you start Mike Williams over him?
Yeah.
PPR for sure.
Would you start, James White's an easy call, right? PPR?
I think I have Barkley ahead of White.
I think I do too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting White over him.
How both got no confidence, huh?
Both Broncos.
No. There you go. Both Broncos. Okay.
Kareem Hunt, James Robinson,
Elijah Mitchell.
I would start Devin Singletary over him.
How about the Bucs running backs over Barkley?
No.
I currently have Fournette over Barkley.
I did.
Before I really, right. This was before the Rojo vote of confidence came out from the office of Bruce Arians.
Which, in fairness, almost every time Bruce Arians has ever said anything nice about Ronald Jones, he's not used him. So,
right. And look what just happened in the first game is Fournette was the first guy in. In the first half, Fournette played way more than Rojo.
Do you remember?
That was before the fumble.
Do you remember how many nice things Bruce Arians said about Gio and how the big role that he said Gio had earned?
And he never says anything nice about Tom Brady.
But Gio was coming off an injury, so I still want to see how that plays out. You know, we'll see. But yeah, you can't trust Bruce Arians. So Barkley, last thing, Barkley or a Broncos wide receiver at Jacksonville?
Man, I'll go Sutton.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to go Sutton as well. I don't think I can be talked into Tim Patrick. No. As much as I like Tim Patrick.
All right, would you start Kenny Golladay or Sterling Shepard this week? How do you feel about the Giants receivers?
I dig Shepard. Love the 24% target share from week one. Like the matchup in the slot for him against Washington. Washington played a lot of zone last week. Keenan Allen ate him alive. I think that you could see Sterling Shepard still be the target leader for New York and still come. I don't think he's getting 100 and a tud, but I think he's going to end up being minimum 12 points in PPR. I'm nervous about Golladay. I kind of feel like I got to see it from Golladay first.
I would start Shepard over Barkley and over Sutton in full PPR.
Same.
In non-PPR, I would start Golladay over Shepard.
In non-PPR, so Golladay over Shepard. Okay, but they're what, number three guys or four?
Yes.
Okay.
Three for me.
Okay, would Tim Patrick or Golladay or Shepard?
Both Giants.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, let's give Golladay a little credit. I mean, four catches, 64 yards on six targets. Just didn't get a lot of targets, but made a couple nice catches. I can't imagine you're going to start Evan Engram if he plays.
No.
All right.
Not a great situation.
And we're not starting Taylor Heinicke. And we're not, are we starting? We're sitting.
I'm starting Taylor Heinicke.
2QB?
Yeah.
Okay. So what about McKissick? Is a no or what? So the Giants, yeah, he ate up the Giants last year.
No.
He had huge games. All right. What about Antonio Gibson? Must start, no questions.
Top six in my projections, top 10 in my rankings.
Okay. All right.
And
yeah,
the Giants just gave up like 170 yards on the ground, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they gave
up 70 of it came
a 70-yard touchdown run.
Those count, don't they?
Yeah,
but you know. So let me ask you: how do you evaluate a team that gave up 24 carries for 76 yards, aside from a late 70-yard touchdown run? What would you say about how they did against the run?
How I would personally evaluate them is I would put them in the 25 defenses that I don't think matter in my. When I'm doing my rankings.
It's such a cop-out. Like, what do you think? And that's fine when you do your rankings. But if I just ask you, hey, what do you think? How did the Giants do against the run?
They did pretty good, except for that big play.
Right. I think any defense that's going to end up playing from behind and is,
right,
you know, has the potential to give up a big play in the fourth quarter is not going to be one that I'm not going to say we saw this coming. Because this could have been a low-scoring competitive game well into the fourth quarter. But Broncos were able to just hammer them late, grind them down.
Yeah.
Gordon broke one. I don't think it necessarily means that the Giants are a bad run defense. I'm not saying that at all.
But I think that's a really good point. The Giants could be skilled at stopping the run and still not be a good run defense because they're always behind and the other team's always just pounding them in the fourth quarter. And they give up a bunch of points.
And if there's ever a team that's
Daniel
do that.
Jones is responsible for the fact that the Giants are not a good run defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I understand. Well, I wouldn't say they're not a good run defense, but I get your point. They tend to give up some big plays in the fourth quarter. They did that last year, too. So Terry McLaurin, where do you guys have McLaurin ranked this week?
Low-end number two receiver.
Yeah, yeah. He's in that 21 and 20-ish.
I'd start AB. I'd start two Bengals. I'd start Higgins and Chase ahead of Terry McLaurin.
I'd start two Steelers, Deontay and Juju.
Would you start Elijah Mitchell over him?
I'd start $3. I don't think I'm there with Elijah Mitchell.
I would definitely start Elijah Mitchell over him in non-PPR. I would start Elijah Mitchell over him in PPR as well.
Okay, would you start Elijah Mitchell? Then you're definitely starting Mitchell over Saquon Barkley, right?
Oh, yes.
What about a second Niners running back?
No.
Let's see how it plays out first.
Okay. Right, and we're not going to know Thursday night who's even going to be active for the 49ers. So,
okay.
Right.
Okay, Logan Thomas. We haven't talked much about him and his value now, but Logan Thomas, start or sit?
In two games with our boy Taylor Heinicke, he had 15 targets, 9 catches, and 122 yards. I am not certain that he is the highest target getter. Cam Sims had 13 targets in a playoff loss, but he's up there. I think you're going to see Logan Thomas continue to have that decent role. And now we've got a quarterback who's not necessarily willing to just wing it downfield as much to McLaurin, someone who might shorten those targets a little bit. And that favors Logan Thomas.
I did downgrade him. I would rather, I had Gronk behind him last week. I would start Gronk over him this week. I had Higbee behind him last week. I would start Higbee over him this week. The other one that's really close for me, and you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I've got Cole Kmet right there too.
And
you have Noah Fant ahead of him, Heath?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's like a top 10 tight end, but not.
Yes.
I don't know what the rest of my sentence would be.
Right there with Dallas Goedert. I'm probably not streaming over them, but they're low end starters.
I guess I got a little more faith in Lotho.
Which DST do you prefer?
Washington.
Yeah.
And are the Giants
playing Daniel Jones?
Are the Giants still? Hey, he only had one turnover last week. What are you talking about?
It's funny though. You say that. Are we saying that Daniel Jones is worse than Taylor Heinicke?
In terms of fantasy,
in terms of a matchup for an opposing defense,
they're both pretty favorable for the defense.
I think when you combine the Giants' offensive line and Daniel Jones and the sacks that the Washington defense
is better,
right? Yeah, you know, Daniel Jones is just something to keep an eye on here. There were some positives. He threw for the most yards that he had thrown for since week one of last year. He averaged 7.2 yards per attempt. That's way up over his average in the first two seasons of his career.
Also below average.
Yeah, but I think Galladay helped, a little bit. So glimmers of hope.
Daniel Jones is in my top 20 quarterbacks. So I'm starting him in a two quarterback league.
And is the Giants DST worth streaming this week in your mind? I'm desperate.
They're on the streaming list.
Okay. All right. So Dave, that was Thursday Night Football.
Na 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 na.
Fantasy Cops are back. Here we go. We're figuring out your league disputes, laying down the law. This is from Jake. I was down 50-plus points with my opponent still having one player left to play going into Monday Night Football. Oh, I guess this is Sunday Night Football. I moved Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee to my bench before Sunday night so I'd have the lowest point total going into next week's waivers, ensuring I would get top priority and Elijah Mitchell. My commissioner noticed and is locking me in at last waiver priority. Should I be pissed?
I understand being pissed, but I do think you should have to set a full lineup every week. If you had somebody on your bench that you were able to put in to those spots, then I would be more okay with it. I'm dealing with a moral dilemma similar to this in my own regard this week. But yeah, you should be a little upset, but the commissioner is in the right to do that.
He is?
Wait. Right. Let me, okay. As long as, but you're saying if he moved Kupp and Higbee to his bench, but I get it's pretty hard to imagine he replaced them with players like he did.
Yeah, I mean, if he started Van Jefferson and Jimmy Graham,
yeah, then it's fine.
I'd be fine with it.
Right, but if he just had empty roster spots,
if he, I'm not okay with empty, like there should be some penalty for that.
I agree, Dave.
We don't know if that's the case,
but that's just
he should have a legal lineup. I agree with you on that.
All right,
but if he had a legal lineup, there should be no penalty.
Yeah, I mean, if he could have put Ruggs and Noah Gray in there. He could have put
any human being that is
eligible.
Well, no, it was Sunday night.
Four games of the week.
Yeah,
fine.
Right.
As long as he did that.
Right.
But you know, if his lineup is illegal, maybe he should have gotten a zero for the week.
Then he definitely would have.
Yeah, then he would have got the first waiver wire. All right.
He'd be 0-1.
Move it on. He already is.
He is 0-1.
That was the whole point.
That's true, yeah.
All right, this is from a Pacific Northwest listener with the crying / laughing emoji because last year, somebody said Pacific Northwest, and I was like, Japan or something, because I just heard Pacific. So anyway, we play in a – I can't really think of my feet. We play in a 14-team half PPR league. A trade was accepted between two players in the league on Friday. It was Ezekiel Elliott for Mike Davis and Devontae Smith. Give up Zeke, get Mike Davis and Devontae Smith. We have standard Yahoo voting where if one-third of the league votes down a trade, it's canceled.
Ooh.
The team receiving Zeke was the 101 in our draft and already has McCaffrey, so they would have two first-round running backs, blah, blah, blah. This seems like a lopsided trade, giving up Mike Davis and Devontae Smith to get Zeke. Of course, managers voted it down and it was overturned. Now both managers of the trade are upset because the trade didn't go through. One thought he was getting a steal of a deal and the other user wants Zeke off his team. He just doesn't like Zeke. He had him last year and he's tired of him. The rules were established and made clear to everyone to start the season. Now I'm concerned it's going to have an impact on trades getting scrutiny throughout the season. Should the trade have gone through or would it be unfair to the rest of the league? If it did, we need your verdict and second opinion. And again, the trade was giving up Mike Davis and Devontae Smith and getting Ezekiel Elliott.
This is a good time for me to tell one of my favorite stories of my fantasy football history. And that was my first year at CBS. And we were like week four. And Jamie made a trade with an inexperienced fantasy football manager, I believe. If I remember correctly, I don't remember who it was, but I believe an inexperienced fantasy football manager. He traded Devontae Freeman, who was off to a fast start, but no one believed in, and another package of like two or three other players. I believe Devin Funchess was part of it. possibly Victor Cruz, like several names for Jamal Charles, who had been the best running back in fantasy for the past 2 years.
First round pick for sure.
And people legitimately quit the league over the trade going through. They were so mad that Jamie would take advantage of this person. 2 weeks later, Jamal Charles was lost for the year. Devontae Freeman finished the year as the number one running back in fantasy.
Oh, that terrible running back year.
Do not veto trades.
No, don't say it. No, stop. Some trades
no votes
need to be vetoed. Not this one, though. Not this one.
No.
Hold on.
No, do not veto trades. If it needs to be vetoed, kick him out of the league.
You don't have like not everybody has like an arsenal of fantasy analysts and employees who are just ready to jump into leagues. People need to keep their retention rate high. This is not, I would take the Zeke side, but in a 14 team league, there's not a lot of depth. I don't even think it's that outlandish of a trade, Mike Davis and Devontae Smith. Of course, I would take the Zeke side, but this is not vetoable. This is a D trade. This is
nothing's
not
vetoable.
Before we won, this is absolutely a vetoable trade. You're trading a first round pick or a first round caliber type player for Devontae Smith, who was like a round six guy, Mike Davis, who was like a round 4/5
getting
guy.
Two starters, though.
I don't think Adam, if we had posed this question to you before week one, you would have said this is an unfair trade.
I would not. I absolutely would not have. This does not get into vetoable. If this had been Ezekiel Elliott for Brian Edwards and
that's just collusion.
Trey Sermon or something. Like then maybe, right. but no. For two guys who are going
to
start most
close
weeks.
To that. This
no,
is
it's not.
Close to
Mike
that.
Davis yeah, and Devontae Smith.
Problem I've got is that you're in a league where a third of the managers can vote down any trade. That's not even a majority. It's preposterous that
you're right.
14 team, a third of 14. Well. What is that? Is that 5 or 4? Because a third of 14, you're going to get a fraction or a decimal, and I don't think you're playing with half people in your league. So I think that well, just actually, right then and Dave, there, there's going to be enough people
it's
in the league.
12 managers.
We're going to be unhappy about a trade.
It's 12 managers because I don't know that the two who are trading get to vote.
Now, that makes sense. So the two don't get a vote.
Okay, who cares?
Okay,
look,
so, I mean,
we all
so
agree. That just means stand. That... Let's stand.
It's no. Four people can vote against it.
But no, Adam.
We have another one.
I think that rule is
right.
Terrible.
Go ahead.
The rule needs to be changed to where 2/3 of the league has to vote against it.
First,
that works
the,
too,
what
no
Adam
votes.
Said was the worst thing.
What did I
it
say?
It was the very worst.
What
because you have a rule in your league where 1/3 of the teams can veto a trade, and you're just saying this trade's fine. That we're going to overrule what the league said on this one, but we're going to keep the rule in place in case there's a trade that's
worse.
I
don't agree with the 1/3 rule. I think that the commissioner...
That's the worst part for sure.
I think the commissioner should be able to veto trades that are, you know, smell like collusion.
Definitely
or,
give the power to one person. That would be...
You made him your commissioner.
I've got a compromise. 4/3 of the league must vote to overrule a trade, including the two teams that made the trade. And then I will...
The usual rule in our leagues is everybody's adults here. You're making a trade in good faith. It's not collusion. So that's why any trade should stand.
And if it is collusion...
I don't think this is... I think it's a sucky trade, but I don't think it's collusion.
All right, I'm going to do one more real quick here. Nick from a Christmas town in the Mitten State. Detroit-ish? What's a Christmas town up there? He's a Detroit guy.
There's a Santa Claus in Indiana. I don't know where there's one in Michigan.
Okay, hours before... It's a 12-team league. Hours before the Thursday night kickoff, the manager who took Davante Adams, 5th overall, trades Adams and his 3rd-round pick, James Robinson, for Ezekiel Elliott, who went 6th to our commissioner. Everybody's kind of mad because this guy took Davante Adams ahead of Zeke, and then he traded Adams and James Robinson for a guy that he could have taken with his 1st-round pick. Nick says, I don't want anyone thrown out of the league or anything. We all work together and need to be cordial.
Okay.
But we'd like some advice. This is a tough one.
No, it's not a tough one.
Not at all.
No, it's two people made a trade. If you're mad about it, make a post on the message board. Write a text to somebody. Yell. Tell your wife about it. That's all you can do.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Look, maybe he had buyer's remorse and he really wanted Zeke.
That's exactly what it was.
All right. Thank you for your Fantasy Cops questions. Email us fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And put Fantasy Cops in the subject line. I got some grade the trade from the listeners. I want to get to our Apple Podcast questions as well. Let me do that before it is too late. Here we go. From Fantasy Kins, trying to upgrade at running back. I'm good at receiver. It's dynasty. It is super flex. What is Antonio Gibson worth? I have an offer on the table. Gibson for Chase Claypool and a 2022 first round pick in a dynasty league. Would you give up Claypool? I guess he's giving up Claypool and a 2022 first to get Antonio Gibson.
I thought he had Gibson.
Well, he said he's trying to upgrade at running back.
He's upgrading at running back. I don't know why he would give away Gibson if he's trying to upgrade at running back.
Okay, I would give up Claypool and a 2022, assuming you're competing this year, because then it's not going to be an early 2022 first.
All right, from Metal Base, who has the best long-term upside in Dynasty, Jalen Hurts or Trey Lance?
I got eviscerated on Twitter about a month ago for asking who would you rather have, Trey Lance or Jalen Hurts. If Hurts
the
has
whole
a good
world
game,
said Lance, right?
If Hurts has a good game this week, I'm going to ask the question again because I think it's probably shifted a little bit more towards Jalen Hurts.
I'm saying Lance.
I don't know, and this is a flaw of mine, but I don't know how a quarterback could have much more upside than Jalen Hurts has. He was a super duper star in college. He's shown us the ability to rush.
He was for 1 year. He wasn't at Alabama.
How many years was Trey Lance a super duper star in the NCAA Division IV?
I know, but this is a guy who had a transfer. You know, like it wasn't that.
Yeah,
simple.
He had to transfer away from Alabama. Would he have had to transfer if he was at North Dakota State?
Only if he wanted to play.
So, what's your answer?
Who
has more long-term potential, Hurts or?
I'm going to say Lance. I think he's just the best. Listen, I think they're both good long-term. I think Lance will be just a little bit better than Hurts.
Yeah, I'm going to say Hurts, and I understand everybody's going to get mad at me. That's okay.
So what was the story? He transferred because Tua was taking his job, right?
Right.
Yeah. He was fine at Alabama, but I mean, nothing like what he was at Oklahoma.
But again, I think they're like Trey Lance, if we're going to talk about what they did in college, Trey Lance played like 13 games a year and a half ago.
I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying.
Right.
You can't, you can compare them athletically, but I don't think you can compare what they did in college. Statistically, it's not going to.
You couldn't.
Hold water.
Okay, last question from Apple Podcast from Fool's Karma. 12-team full PPR. I traded Jonathan Taylor, Kyle Pitts, and Devontae Smith.
Whoo.
For Travis Kelce and Miles Gaskin. All right, he gave up Jonathan Taylor, Pitts, and Smith, and he got. Yeah. I don't like this trade. I don't think.
I don't either.
Kelce and Gaskin. He still has AJ Brown, Allen Robinson, Deontay Johnson. He's good at receiver. Yeah, I don't know.
D.
Okay.
Yeah, trade chart likes the Taylor side a lot more.
We're gonna finish with some rapid fire grade the trade. This is from Chase. Would you be willing to give up Chris Godwin for Terry McLaurin?
I'd rather have Godwin.
Same.
From Aaron, I traded Darren Waller and Chris Carson, 10-team PPR, Waller and Carson, for Kamara and Pitts.
That's a winner.
Mm.
Yeah. It's close, huh?
It's okay. Close, but I like it.
Let's see. Jesse Hannigan gave up Darren Waller. Why is everybody trading Waller? For Zeke and Gerald Everett.
That's a winner.
Okay, from Trevor K, give up James White and Ronald Jones.
That's a winner.
Get Tyson Williams and James Conner, PPR.
It's a winner.
Is it? Who'd you rather have in PPR, Ronald Jones or James White or Tyson Williams?
Williams.
I think the Williams-Conner side... Man, I don't even know why anybody would make this trade. Either direction.
From Dozier. Just like
to get somebody with some upside, like you're getting off the Rojo train.
Go buy a roulette wheel and just whenever you get an urge to do something like this, just spin it and guess a number and see if you're right.
What's your roulette number?
13.
Mine's 25.
13. What a sicko. The
13's always been my lucky number.
What's yours, Adam?
19, my birthday. I was born in the 19th month of the year. Trade Sony Michel for Naeem Hines, half PPR.
I'd rather have Hines.
Hines has more value.
I haven't given out a grade in a long time, so how about they start doing that? From Justin, Aaron Rodgers and Jamar Chase for Justin Herbert and Michael Thomas.
D.
Yeah, I like the Chase side.
Who?
Right. Yeah. So that's a D, right?
Yeah.
Trade away Amari Cooper and Allen Robinson. Get Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore. Cooper and Robinson for Ridley and Moore.
D.
Yeah, that's bad. You should have held on to Cooper and Robinson.
Okay, one more time. This guy is a clown. He said to me, "You look like you're good at fantasy football. Do I trade away Tyson Williams to get back Mike Evans or Julio Jones in full
PPR?" He sent me the same tweet. I just took it as a compliment. Why would you say he's a clown? I think he's saying, judging by your Twitter feed, it looks like you're good at fantasy football. Can you please help me with this question?
He doesn't know anything about me.
He's judging your looks?
He doesn't know anything about me, obviously. Tyson Williams for Mike Evans or Julio Jones, PPR.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it. Which one would you rather have, Evans or Julio?
Evans.
All right. Good stuff, guys. Good show today. Hope this helps. Go out, make some trade offers, everybody. It's the most fun part of fantasy football. Make it happen. Tomorrow, starters hit for the AFC home games and a live stream Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Your questions at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. For Dave and Keith, I am Adam. Talk to you tomorrow.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is
finally here. And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.